Where are we holding in Chanukah? We're holding the Shita B'Shamay. At the first night, you light 8 candles. And then you go down. And Beis Hillel says you do the other way around. You light 1 and you go up. So we learned about the Yesod, that the number 1 is not like any other number. The first day of creation is not like the second day of creation. The first day of creation, Hashem created everything on the first day. On the second day, there was a gili of one thing. The third day, there was a gili of another thing. Fourth day, there was a gili of another thing. Until 7 days. So day one is the root of everything. That's the sherish. Everything was created on the first day. And the days that follow are the days when they come out and you see it. We talked about the sun and the moon and the stars. Does anyone remember where the sun and the moon and the stars were there for the first 3 days of creation? Where were the sun? They were underground. And the fourth day of creation, the sun, the moon, the constellation, they came out from underground. It was subterranean sun. It came out and went up to the Shemayim and was placed in its proper orbits. The sun was created the first day. Bereshis Bara Elokim Hashem Shemayim v'Haaretz. In the beginning of creation, Hashem created Shemayim and Haaretz. That means the Haaretz was there before. It wasn't just the second day of creation. The second day of creation says, you know, Yikavu Amayim. So the third day of creation is Yisera'a Yabasha. So that's when there was a Gili that there is such a thing as Haaretz. But on the first day, everything was there. And the same thing with Hanukkah, and the same thing with the cows and Sukkot. Okay, so we talked about Bryas Olam, we talked about Hanukkah, so now let's talk about cows. And that's what we're holding? We're holding by the Sukkot cows. By the Sukkot cows, it's harder. By Sukkot, you have a kasha. By Sukkot, you have a kasha. So by Chanukah, you start with 8, because on the first day of Chanukah, Hashem brought into this world the power for oil to burn for 8 days. And the first day of Chanukah, the power for the oil to burn for 8 days was already there. On the second day of Chanukah, there was only power for it to burn for 7 days. The third day of Chanukah, there was only power for it to burn for 6 days. Until you got to the last day, how much power was left inside of that oil? Only 1 day. And after the 8th day, there was nothing left. And it works out very nicely. You start from 8, you go down to 1, and then it disappears. But by Sukkot, the first day is a special day. It is a special day. There's two things special about the first day of Sukkot. One is you have the most amount of cows. It's very special. How many cows do you bring on the first day of Sukkot?
14? 16? 17?
We're gonna whoever gets the
closest. We ended at 12.
Whoever gets the closest
18.
Gets a prize.
On the last day?
What'd you say?
I said 14.
And what'd
18.
You say? And what'd you say?
On the last day of Sukkot?
The first day of Sukkot. How
first
many cows?
70.
How many cows do you bring on the first day of Sukkot?
24.
14 or 12.
We ended at 12.
11. 8.
9.
7.
9, we just said
nothing. Jordy was the closest. It's 13.
13.
Right. Right. Take a cashman. The first day of Sukkot is 13. The second day is 12. What's 13 and 12?
12.
The third day is 11.
36.
Fourth day is 10.
55. 63. 70.
So you go down from 13 to 7. And you have 70 cows altogether. But you start... So kids, do you start a Sukkot? During Sukkot, you have to bring 70 cows. Now you could do it. You could do it many ways. You could bring 7 cows the first day and 8 cows the second day, and on the 7th day you could bring 13 cows. So to bring 70 cows on Sukkot, or you could bring 10 each day. You could do it that way also. Or you can mix and match. There's a lot of ways you can bring 70 cows on Sukkot. And we bedafka pick the descending order that if you're going to bring cows and each day it's going to be one less than the day before, so you have to start with the number 13. Because you can't do it any other way. It works out mathematically. So the reason why you start with 13 cows is because when you start with 13 cows and you go down each day for 7 days, you're going to have 70 cows. But why do you do it that way? Why don't you do it in ascending order? Why don't you do it in descending order? He says the same he said. The first day of the Chag is it's called Yeser Elyon. The Kiddush of the Chag comes from the first day. And the other days are Kaddish because they get the Kiddusha from the first day of the Chag. So that's why it has to have the most amount of cows. So Grady brings down he brings a kasha. There's an eighth day. How many cows do you bring on the eighth day?
One
cow. So you're going for 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. And then down to one. It's not following the program. And on the eighth day, I mean, we're saying that your site is that the first day is where all the Kedusha comes from the Yom Tov, and then the other days have a status of being part of the Yom Tov because they follow the first day. If you have a Yom Tov that starts from day two, you wouldn't have a Yom Tov. There is no such thing as a Yom Tov that starts from day two. There has to be Kedusha on the first day. And then the other days are special because they follow the first day. They're connected to the first day. Day two is connected to the first day. It's right after the first day. The first day leads into the second day. So the second day is going to be Kaddish. The second day leads into the third day. It's going to be Kaddish. But they don't have their own Kedusha. The Kedusha of Sukkot is the Kedusha of the first day of Sukkot. If there's any Kedusha in the other days, it's only because they're connected. It's almost like you have like a Besamim. So Besamim, the Mahus, the essence of the Besamim is that it gives off a good aroma. You stand next to the Besamim. So you also pick it up. But you're not a source of the aroma. You're in the vicinity of the Besamim, you pick it up. The Chazal say in the Talmud Chacham is like a Chanush HaBesamim. That even if you don't buy anything, you just go in and you window shop, you go in there, so then you come out smelling good. Stick with Chachamim. So the first day of Yom Tov is the day of Kedusha, and all the Kedusha of the day, what makes the day special, is because Hashem created a special day, that this is a day when you could connect with whatever the Yom Tov represents. Sukkot represents what it does, and Pesach represents what it does. And the first day, you could touch that. You could go, you could, when you enter the first day of Sukkot, you can make contact with the Bnei Yisrael after they left Mitzrayim, that they were totally under God's protection. And other days of the year, you can't touch that. It's very hard. And your mamish could go back and transport yourself back to the time when the Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar and they're under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection. And there's nothing around them but desert and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're not afraid because them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a wonderful relationship, and Hashem is there, He's shading them and guiding them from all harm. The second day is only special because it comes after the first day. The Kedusha. The first day is Kaddish. There's other rayas to this. Now what are rayas to the... Give me some rayas to the unique identity, the uniqueness of the first day. What does the pasuk say when it talks about the Arba Minim? What's that pasuk? What's the pasuk about the Arba Minim? The mitzvah of Arba Minim is only on the first day of Sukkot. The other 6 days are Drabbanan. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Arba Minim were a chiyah for 7 days. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the chiyah was 1 day. That means they brought the lulav on the first day, and that's it. And the other 6 days, there was no lulav and esrog. Why is that? Well, so the first day, there was an isser malacha. There was a chiyah of kiddush. The other 6 days, there's no isser malacha. There's no chiyah of kiddush. There's a gzeirah shavah from Pesach. On Pesach, there's a chiyah, it says, Be'erev teichlu matzos. On Pesach, every day of Pesach, there's an isser eat chametz. What if a guy's on a gluten-free diet? So he won't eat matzah either. He's not doing anything wrong. He won't eat matzah, he won't eat chametz. But on the first night, you have to eat matzah. Eat a kazayas of matzah. They have the people with gluten-free diets. It's almost dangerous for them to eat gluten. So there was a chemist in England. You heard of this? There's a chemist in England. The first he found that among the grains, the lowest in gluten content is oats. But still not low enough. It could still trigger a reaction. He's a chemist. He's a chemist. So he developed a process that removed most of the gluten from the oats. You're already starting out with a lower product, and artificially, through some chemically induced process, he lowered the gluten level even more, but it still wasn't enough. Then he researched soils in different areas in England, and he found that the gluten content is dependent on the soil that's grown in. There's certain nutrients in the soil. So he found one patch of land in England somewhere. I don't know how he found it, that the soil does not produce large quantities of gluten. So he had oats, which is low in the first place. The soil, the particular patch of soil and patch of earth, that it didn't produce so much gluten oats, and then this process, he got it down to almost zero, almost. And he planted, he grew oats, he harvested it, processed it to flour, and made matzahs. And people all over the world, they suffer from this. He is the sole distributor of this. You get a few matzahs per person, that's it. He doesn't have any. How much can he produce already from this little small field with this procedure? A few matzahs. You get like a small box of matzahs. And you order it from him. And they bring it to Eretz Yisrael. I know two families that get it. And they have a little box of matzahs. They could have one kazayas by the Seder. And even that gets them sick. But it doesn't kill them. Why? And then they have a Seder, they have a kazayas, they don't have the brisket kazayas. They have an olive size. And that's it. And the rest of Pesach, they eat potatoes, borscht, and hard-boiled eggs and chicken. No matzah. No matzah bread, no matzah pizza, no matzah meal, no. No matzah meal pancakes, no. 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 None. So why, what's this mysterious nefesh to eat the first, because the first night of Pesach, you have to have a kazayas. And that's the 15th day of Nisan, on the 15th day of Tishrei, Sukkos. And the Gemara makes a gzeirah shava, it says, B'yam ha-chamisha asar, by Pesach, it says, B'yam ha-chamisha asar by Sukkos. And Sukkos, if it's raining, you're not chayav to eat in Sukkah. And Sukkos, and my father's a zangazunt, he lives in a condo. He has a porch. There's a porch right on top of him. There's no sukkah. He's on the third floor. There's no sukkah. He doesn't have a sukkah. So what does he do? Eat cereal, eggs. If he's at home, he's pushing that kaveh suda, the whole sukkah. So he goes out to a restaurant, they have a sukkah. Or he goes to my sister, or he comes out to Israel. Which time he's going to be here. Yeah. If a sukkah is here, it shouldn't be for Mendy's bar mitzvah. So then again, you're not kaveh suda. But the first night of sukkahs, you can't do that. You have to be kaveh suda. You must. We had this. Who was it? Was anybody here the first night of sukkahs? Yeah. We ran out. We were ready to run out of sukkah. We had the cow eating it. We were ready to run out, and then it stopped. The rain stopped, yeah. Right before we ran out.
Schachbuah.
Baruch Hashem was tied down because I'm not a frummy. My paisik when I asked in the shal if you could tie down the schach. He said, don't be a fool and be machmer not to tie it down because it's not a chumrah, it's a kula because you end up without a sukkah. So be machmer to tie it down, to be machmer to have a sukkah. That's what he told me. And ever since he told me that, I tie it down. And even that, it was all, yeah. But we stayed there for the first kazayas and we were going to leave. And then it stopped. Right at the point where we were going to leave.
Right, soup.
Right, yeah, he was climbing whether it's at Tisuk or Makaba. Mamasha, it stopped. But why do we do that? And the rest of Sukkahs? If it's like that, go in the house. It's Daya, put them in the Sukkah. Don't stay in the Sukkah. Here you have to stay for one Kazayas. Then again, why is it? Because it's the first night. Crap. Abraminim is only on the first day with Eresa.
Abraminim is the opposite.
How come Shabbos is...
Shabbos, as you get towards the end, it's stronger.
Shabbos is... Oh, you're talking about the three Suddhas?
The three Suddhas as if they were three different days.
Yes, and...
Sukkot and Pesach, and the first day is the Iker.
Right.
Shabbos, in the beginning, it adds on more and more, and then the end of Shabbos is there.
Friday night Kishon is always
the thing is the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're going to have the same issues that we're having by Bessel Vashami, you can have by Shabbos, that there are certain things that mark the Hashivas of the beginning of Shabbos. Kiddush Deraisa is only at night. Kiddush during the day is Rabbanan. You always say Kiddush at the beginning of Shabbos. Well, you're talking about the progression of Kiddush HaShabbos as Shabbos goes on. It's because the longer Shabbos is with you, the more you have the Kiddush of Shabbos. It depends on what aspect of Shabbos you're looking at. If you're looking at the amount of Shabbos that's been revealed in the world, so then the more of Shabbos that's revealed, then the more Kiddush Shabbos you have. If you look at what's the Iker that brings the Shabbos, the Kiddush in the beginning of Shabbos brings the rest of Shabbos. It's very similar. We don't like a menorah on Shabbos, so otherwise we'd have a machlokes whether you should light, one and then two or two and then one. But we don't light candles on Shabbos. So you don't have it, but you do have the same themes. The problem is that and if that's true, then what's Shmini Hatzeres? Shmini Hatzeres is a Yom Tov, and if we're saying that the reason why the first day is special is because all the Kedusha of Yom Tov comes from the first day, and that's why it's also B'Malacha, and that's why it is a Yom Tov. So how is it possible that the last day has Kedusha? So that the moral answers that. Baruch Shikivanta. Shmini Atzeres is a Yom Tov Fnei Atzma. Shmini Atzeres is a Yom Tov Fnei Atzma. It's not the last day. The last day is Hashanah Rabbah. So it goes from 13 to 7 cows. And that's it. Now Sukkot is over. When the Teretz is read with Niyatz, the problem with that Teretz Regi is that on Pesach the last day is also Kaddish, It's the seventh day. And it's Nisan Malach on the seventh day of Pesach. You say the first day of Pesach is all the Kedusha comes from the first day of Pesach. And then it's revealed. Second day it's revealed. It's revealed what was there on the first day. And the third day it's revealed also what was there on the first day. Until you get to the seventh day, then everything is revealed. I should say, until you get to the sixth day, everything was revealed what was on the first day. And then you have the seventh day as a Yom Tov. Why is the seventh day a Yom Tov? And you're going to say because it's a Yom Tov Shnei Atzmei, but it's not. So, Mike, you know?
Man of the Kodesh Memorandum. We have a problem that we have these two contradictory things. So at the same time when we have the beginning of Yom Tov, which is Kadosh,
yeah,
and it's the only Kadosh, at the same time we have Malam Mikodesh, so we have to end off with...
Yeah, but Yom Beis Shammai doesn't hold like that. It's by Chanukah, we pass on like Beis Hillel, but by Kals we pass on like Beis Shammai. It's a problem. It's a Ramesh problem, dude. I can tell you, it's a problem. Rabbi Yeshua Hartman suggests that even though the last day of Pesach is not a Yom Tov B'Shnei Atzmai, but it does mark a significant day because it marks Kriyas Yom Tov. Pesach is not like the first day is Kaddish because it marks Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then the other 6 days is a Hemshech of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not true. The other 5 days is a Hemshech of Mitzrayim. The sixth day, the last day of Pesach, is not marking Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's marking Kriyas Yom Tov. Kriyas Yom Tov is a further stage. That's what he suggests. That even though it's not a Yom Tov Ne'atzmai, it doesn't have its own shear, it doesn't have its own carbon, it doesn't have its own... no shekhiyana, you know, no shekhiyana. Pesach kesef. But still, the significance of the day is not Yetzias Mitzrayim. Actually, he says Ulai. I'm not really sure. So we really have to work on this. Why, if we don't pass like Bisham of Hanukkah, but we do pass like them by the Pariah Chag. What's the difference between cows and Hanukkah lights? No. Alright, so to understand that, let's go a little weiter. Okay, this is clear so far? Right, it's okay. So what does Beis Hillel hold? Every single thing we said in Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel hold, they hold of it. Beis Hillel holds of every single thing we said in Beis Shammai. There is nothing that he argues on. All these sides. Beis Hillel also holds that the sun and the moon and the stars were underground until the fourth day of creation. Beis Hillel also holds that the first day of Sukkot, that you have a chiyuv to eat in the Sukkah, and the first day of Pesach you have to eat the kazayis. And yet on Hanukkah, he holds that you start with the first day one light, and the second day another light. What does Beis Hillel hold? Ma'ala b'kadosh v'en meridin. So Maral says, ki ha-kadosh hi ma'ala al yayna. Kadosh, it's not easy to be a kadosh. V'en magia amadrega azay sayyana mitchila. You can't get there with one jump. I remember when we moved around when I was younger. Lived in Chicago, Muncie, Boston, Chicago, Cleveland. We moved around a lot when I was younger. And I got really messed up. I mean, I still remember this. I got really messed up because we moved from Chicago to Muncie, and in Muncie the chiddush was much better. So I was learning things I never would have learned in Chicago. We moved to Boston, the chiddush wasn't as good. So I was ahead. Hello, Yanni. Shalom Shalom. Oh, now we can start this year. Everything was here in potential. I was holding it in, and now that Yanni's here, we let it out. So we went to Boston. I was already holding by learning They learned real stuff. It was fifth grade. And the school in Boston was not up to the standard. So they put me in fifth grade Hebrew. And fourth grade English. Because in Hebrew I was ahead. But the English department there was very strong. It was Boston. They had teachers there. Those teachers, I never had such teachers. They were so dedicated and so clear and so passionate. You know, it's like, it was, you know, the English department especially. There were a lot of kids in the school that weren't religious. It wasn't, they couldn't push the Hebrew up that high, but the English department was great. With non-religious kids, they were great at that. Fifth grade, then we moved back to Chicago. So, okay, fifth grade Hebrew, fourth grade English. It was a shtickle problem. Because the fifth grade rabbi, he wanted to make some extra money. So he taught fifth grade and sixth grade. So I think he taught fifth grade in the morning and sixth grade in the afternoon. So, or the other way around. Sixth grade in the morning, fifth grade in the afternoon. So I couldn't be in fifth grade Hebrew and fourth grade English. Because they had fifth graders had English in the morning, and fourth graders had English in the afternoon. So if I'd be in fifth grade and fourth grade, I'd have English and English. And what's the point? I might as well go to public school. I was just saying, it's like a, you know, it's a, and it was like it was a problem. So they decided on a pshara. The girls also had fourth grade English in the afternoon. The boys had fourth grade English in the morning. The girls had it in the afternoon. So I'd be in fifth grade Hebrew with the boys in the morning, and be in fourth grade English with the girls. This was the solution. The teacher, her name was Ms. Bonner. And I just didn't sit with the girls. I mean, I was in the front. I had my own little desk there. And she was... And since I'd moved around so much, I had missed the times tables. It's not the thing you want to miss. No calculators. No slide rule. And she was explaining to the fourth grade girls what in the world I was doing there. They had no clue. And she drew on the... She drew on, we're getting to the point of the story, you know, there is a point. She drew on the blackboard a staircase, like stairs, like a chalk line up and then to the right, and then up and then to the right, and up and to the right. And then she erased one of the steps. And she was talking about, you know, she said, if you're trying to go up the stairs, one at a time, when all the stairs are there, so you can keep going higher and higher and higher. You just, as long as that staircase goes, you can keep going forever, you know? But if one of the steps are missing, you can't get from step number one to step number three, because step number two is not there, and you're going to fall. So I'm in the, so somehow that had to do with what I was doing in the class. Because it didn't work. It didn't work, and they put me down to fourth grade, Baruch Hashem. Everything. It didn't work. Oh, it's terrible. Terribly embarrassing. Baruch Hashem, they put me down. It's a shadow. They either put me up all the way, put me down all the way, and they put me down. Whew. It's funny because that year I got a U in math. Unsatisfactory. Which is failure. But after that, math was my best subject. I guess it was, you know, the rebelliousness in me. I was like the kayak of Snag.
Big O's.
Basil says that of course the Kedusha of Hanukkah was there on the first day. Of course that the other days there was no Kedusha of Hanukkah that was brought into the world. Everything was there on the first day of Hanukkah. And on the other days it was just revealed. And nothing new came. Hashem brought 8 days of Hanukkah on the first day. The kayak of eight. That the light should go for 8 days on the first day. And on the second day, when it's burning for seven, you know, when it was burning on the second day. So it was burning Mikayak, the Hashpa that came on the first day, and the same on the third to the end. He said, but that's the way Kedusha comes to the world. But people are not like that. When you go on a ladder, and you're going towards that elusive goal called Kedusha, you can't go to the top step right away. So Baruch Hashem, you can't. So that's the concept of stairs.
Why in circles can we do it? How do we can't?
Right, we don't have to get to that. You're going to have to tell me that. So you go one step at a time. And even though on the first day of Hanukkah, there's eight iris. There's the kayak of eight lights. The kayak of lifting a person up eight levels. And they're there on the first day. But a human being can't go through the first day of Hanukkah and get all eight of them. It would be nice. But then we lose out on 7 days of latkes. And the first day of Hanukkah, all that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to show this world in Hanukkah is in the world already. So why don't we get it on the first day? It's there. Because you can't.
When
we reach the first day, when we reach the last day, we get all of it. It's revealed a little bit at a time. Hashem reveals, as the days of Hanukkah go on, more and more of what Hanukkah is to us is revealed. And it has to be that way. It's seven steps. One step after another. And then you'll get there. So Machlekes Mitzvah Beishamai, is a parallel to Machlekes Pesilah Beishamai in Maseches Chagiga. The Gemara Chagiga brings a Machlekes Pesilah Beishamai. What was created first? Bereshis bara Elokim es haShamayim ves haAretz. The Shami says that the Shamayim was created first, and then the Arts. Bereshis bara Elokim es haShamayim ves haAretz. And Beis Hillel says the Arts was created first, and the Shamayim was created second. Bereshis bara Elokim es haShamayim ves haAretz. The Shamayim was created for the sake of the Arts. But the Arts was created first. And, if you think about this just a little bit, you can match it up. Because Beshami starts with Shemayim, then Arts. So what comes first? The Kedusha, the light that Hashem sends down to this world? Or the journey that man goes on in order to acquire it? So if you're looking at the Kedusha that comes into this world on the first day of Hanukkah, 8 days of Kedusha comes down. On the second day, there's 7 days left. On the third day, there's 6 days left. Weiter and weiter. But that's if you're looking at it in perspective of what Shemayim's giving. But if you're looking at it, how does man receive it? He can't receive it all in one shot. He won't understand it. He won't gain from it. So on the first day, he gains one level of understanding. One level of understanding. The second day, a second level is revealed to him. So Bishama says the Shemayim was created first, and then Arts. And Bishama says the Arts were created first, and then Shemayim. They're not just, you know, like, what's Nafka? We have Machlekes, what's Nafka mean? We have both of them, Baruch Hashem. We got both of them. What's the difference which one came first? You know, you invite two people for supper, and one gets there 5 minutes before the other. What's the difference? They start the meal at the same time. I got there first. No, you got there first. What's Nafka Mina was what was created first. There is a big Nafka Mina in what's created first, and what's Kaveh, the Derech Avodah and Klal Yisrael. Even though we can't relate to eight levels of Chachma one shot, but our Avodah, the way we do Avodah to Kadosh Baruch, we have to acknowledge that there are eight levels of Avodah in one shot. Our Avodah has to reflect Shemayim first, and then Arts. That's Beis Shamashita. So even though we're going to understand it one level at a time, But the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah menorah is not lit according to the way we understand it. The mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah menorah is lit the way we see the way Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us, and we have to know that. And Beis Hillel says, no, that's not Avodah. We don't do Avodah from the perspective of Shemayim. We do Avodah from the perspective of Aretz. And even though you have 8 on the first day, you don't light 8 on the first day, because nobody can understand all that Chochmah on the first day. And we understand things one at a time. We understand one thing the first day, 2 things the second day, 3 things the first day. So our mitzvahs have to reflect the way we do things. Beis Hillel is easier to understand. The halacha is like we saw. Mitzvahs are things that we do, so they should be done our way. You know, you don't do a mitzvah the way someone else understands it. You do it the way you understand it. But B'Shamet argues. There was a gain. The word gain is not even adequate to describe him. We used to bring the Bachim from the yeshiva to him every year. His name was Rabbi Yisrael Elia Weintraub. Were you there when we went? Rabbi Lieber used to bring us there. We'd go to Bnei Brak for Shabbos. We'd go to Rabbi Yisrael Elia Weintraub. I mean, it was a different Bnei Brak Shabbat when we actually went. He spoke English. He was American.
Detroit?
No. He was in Crown Heights, I think. But he left America at a very young age, and he had a problem. He had a hard time speaking English. He didn't want to talk in English. We went through the same spiel every time. I don't have to talk in English. It's hard for me. I don't know it. And Rabbi Lieber would tell him, you start. When you get stuck, I'll help you. And then Rabbi would get stuck on a word. He'd say, how do you say this? And Rabbi Lieber would say, how you say it? And he'd go, weiter. He spoke to us for half an hour. He's one of the daily door. You know, to compare him to Lavda Mechaim Lechaim, the caliber of Rabbi Moshe Shapiro. Rabbi Yosef David. He was very, he was one of the big Bali Machshav of the Dar. And he spoke to us. It was beautiful. He knew exactly what to say to us. And then the last year we went and then they told us to go away. He couldn't talk to us. It was like, so we were able to give him good shabbos. Big person. So he said that there's a medrash. Bereishis bara Elokim is a Shemayim Hazaretz. Elokim is the name of Hashem that represents the Midah of Din. There's another pasuk. V'yayim asayis Hashem Elokim Eretz v'Shemayim. The day that Hashem Elokim made Eretz and Shemayim. Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei, that's compassion. Elokim is Din. So it's a steer in the psukim. Bereishis bara Elokim means that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in the image of Midas HaDin. You do exactly what you're told. So you could stay in the world. You deviate, you come 1 minute late. Could you imagine? 1 minute late. 1 second late. You're out. You mess up once, the slightest deviation from what Hashem wants, you're out and there's no coming back. That's Bereishis bara Elokim. V'yayim asayis Hashem Elokim Eretz v'Shamayim. Is in the end, Hashem wants it to be exactly the way he wants it. But you can slip up, you can come back, you can fix things up. Eventually, I'll get there. That's my mashia. The Lashon HaMedrash says, "Mitchila, Allah b'makshav deliver is ha'olam b'midas hadin, v'rash ha'olam einu miskayim." Hashem says he's going to make the world a midas hadin. The world won't be miskayim. There'll be one person in the world. One person. How many people could do that? Could come exactly on time every single day, never come late. How many people could put the tefillin exactly in the right place every single day and never shift to the right? How many people could say every single word in davening, have kavanah teaching everyone? Forget it! It's over! You know, why even try? You might as well shoot yourself before you're born. It's not going to happen. Rosh Hashanah Rizkayim. So Amad Vishitim Vayimitza Rachamim. Midas Rachamim. This is something I heard from Ramesh. It's from the Swarmak Dajim. Rachim means compassion. You switch around the letters a little, it's machar. Machar means tomorrow. Compassion gives you a tomorrow. Compassion is not a contradiction to Midas HaDin. It just buys time. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be exactly the way you want it. Just wait. Wait till tomorrow. Until another tomorrow. It's gonna be Hashem. It's gonna be exactly the way it's gonna be. By the time it's Kiyas Samesh, it's gonna be exactly what it's gonna be. Wait till tomorrow. Maha. Tomorrow. Tomorrow the sun will shine. Rabbi Elia Weintraub says that Beishamay Kiyadura, the Midah Beishamay, Beishamay had a Midah. His whole life he worked in this Midah. The Midah Beishamay, you know, there was someone that came to Beishamay and he said, could you teach me the Torah? I'm all on one leg. So Beishamay dealt with him with Midas Hadin. Here's someone that wanted to come close to the to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He said, I'll be Magaya. Midas Hadin says you don't do that. You don't teach somebody that comes to be taught Torah on one foot. Midas Hadin says you have to spend a lot of time. You have to be ready to invest in it. And you know, Beis Hillel. Hillel and Shammai. Hillel, the same person, came to Hillel and he said, teach me the whole Torah on one foot. He said, Mada, somebody, Allah, 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 Sabbath, whatever is hated to you, don't to your friend. He did Zilgamar. He said, okay, I told you the whole Torah now, one foot. I'll put the foot down, now let's learn. That was chesed. He didn't have to do that. He knew he didn't have to do that. That's Hillel. Ma'ilum ti anvason ke Hillel. You should be an anvason Hillel. Like Katlan ke Shammai. Shammai was very makbid. The mid of Shammai was the mid of Din. Exactitude. Unforgiving. Din. Doing things right the first time. Not tolerating any deviation from what's supposed to be. And the Midah of Hillel was Amid Meshita Vor Midas HaRachman. He was able to see the world, that the world will eventually come to it. It's going to make it. It's going to come there. Just give it some time. The goal is Din. Hillel's willing to give it time. Things don't have people are human. They're human. They make mistakes. They could give them a chance to rectify it. They'll come back. They'll come back. It's the same machlekes. Rabbi Elia Weintraub says it's the same machlekes. Whether Shemayim is nivitchila or is nivitchila. In Shemayim, everything is exactly the way Hashem wants it. There's no bechira. You know why? Because there's no bechira in Shemayim. They couldn't do an avera if they tried. No one wants. There's nobody up there that wants to do an avera. There's no averas because there's no choices. There's one. You come into the ice cream shop in Shemayim, and it says a big sign, 33 flavors, and you say, okay, I'd like ice cream. What flavors do you have? 33 flavors. We got vanilla. Okay, what else do you have? We have vanilla. What else do you have? We've got vanilla. If you want, you could have vanilla. You can't make a bad choice. Take the vanilla. Good choice. I recommend the vanilla. I'll take the vanilla. There's no choices in Shemayim. There's only one of everything. You can't choose between this thing or that thing. That's Din. Din is die. It's up. Die means it's a limit. Die. It's a limit. We had a Talmud advisor, he moved to Israel. His kids are like 5 years old. They go to Gan for the first day. And they come back and they say, how was your day in Gan? And the little girl says, I'm not really scared. She said, why? She said, because the whole day the girls are telling me to die. She said, okay, come here. I'm like, 5-year-old. She's afraid to go to school because she's going to come back in a box. It's a... die means...
That was a wrong
Din. Din means... enough. That means there's only one. That's it. You get one. Rak echad. One piece of schnitzel. No doubles. Din. Rak echad. There's no two pieces of schnitzel. There's only one piece of schnitzel in Shemayim. You could have one piece of schnitzel. Can I have more? Yes, you could have one piece of schnitzel. That's all there is. Can I have doubles? Yes, you could have one piece of schnitzel. That's your doubles. Shemayim was created first. This hill? A hill? I mean hill? Chesed. Hill Leimer Havei Mitami Dov Sha'aron. Ayyav Shalom. Rayyav Shalom. Ayyav is a Briyaz Makarva Latara. That's not Din. That's a liar. You know, you're going to go tell somebody, Why are you fighting with your friend? You know he's miserable that he's going to fight with you? He wants to make up with you. And he goes to the other guy. He says, hey, your friend wants... He's a liar! That's a din. Making shalom is not din. Hill. Shalom. Yeah, it's Aaron. It's a hill. I remember having every time we'd have Shalom. Hill and Aaron. Hill... Ayyub Shalom, Ayyub Shalom, Ayyub is a Briyas Makabra Latira. Ayyub is a Briyas Makabra Latira. Let them come themselves to Torah. You know what Midas Adin is? Stayim is Midas Adin. You fit in the bed, fine. If not, we chop your legs off. There's a buck, I missed a story. There's a buck that came to TJ. He was too big for the beds. And he couldn't, you know, he couldn't stay. He left.
That was the story.
I just went to him, but he was afraid, I guess, that they're going to chop his legs off. They were thinking of making the... afraid, watch it, you know. Din! You don't fit. Your legs are in the bed? Exactly. Your legs go over? Din! Got to chop it off. So he went somewhere else. So the Bachleikus Hill and Shammai is the Derech Avaida. They're both made in the Yisaitis. Hashem wanted to create the world with Midas Adin. Hill is made to that. He said, but Hashem didn't do it that way. He did it with Midas Rachamim. And Shammai, he's made it that Hashem did it with Midas Rachamim. But the original Kavanah was Din, and the goal is Din. So Hill says, okay, so when you do mitzvahs, you have to do mitzvahs with Midas HaChesed. Similar to Midas HaChesed. Give it a chance, not all at once. There's a wonderful, wonderful clip I saw, a Kirov clip from this Kirov organization, Project Inspire, about a guy that invites over someone that's coming to him for Shabbos for the very first time. And that's the last time that guy's ever going to keep Shabbos, you know, after what he put him through. And he washed his hands, you know, under the sink. No. Joseph, that's not how you do it. No, you gotta do the challah, not that challah, this challah. You cut the bottom challah, the Friday night challah, top challah during the day. No, please. We're gonna sing a nigga now. I don't know if you saw it. And you know that when someone is in Shema Torah Mitzvahs, so if the only way you're gonna bring him close to Torah is to make him do everything the first minute you meet him. Din. And when the policemen talk about this, they talk about this. How could you have someone over at your house? They're not going to make a bracha. You even lift even, but give them the food, and I make a bracha. As a machlek is a policeman. What you do? Are you allowed to give them food? So you invite someone over to your house for Shabbos. It's his first Shabbos. He's all waiting for it, and he gets nothing to eat because he didn't make a bracha. Now we're bringing out the challah. Oh, I've always heard about this challah. My friends told me it's amazing. Man, it smells so good. I've become religious over something like this. You can't have any. So there's two ways. There's a machlekes paiskim. There's paiskim to hold that he has to make a bracha. You make the bracha for him. And you. But Shlomo Zalman, I have a bracha paiskim that if it's going to cause a bad reaction... It'll cause a bad reaction. You make him do things he doesn't want to do. So you said, don't do it. He'll be a Shema Shabbos. He'll get there.
He said, don't say
anything. Don't make him make a bracha. If you reveal he's going to take it the wrong way, he's going to get insulted. Some people, they're on their guard. They don't want any coercion. It's religious coercion. It's a cult. It's a bunch of moonies. And they're testing you to see if you're going to push them. My friend worked at a camp in Moody's, Pennsylvania. Moody's. M-O-D-I-S. Moody's. Moody's. And there was one rule. They told the guys, they said, listen, these are university kids. We want them to have a chance of going to Eretz Yisrael. This camp is going to give them a taste of what it is. And then we try and get the whole group to go to Eretz Yisrael for a trip, for a yeshiva, for something. And the last thing we want is one of our staff members actually turning a guy off. There is no pressure in this camp. You're here to be in the base managers, learn with them, follow the program, not to tell them to do anything. The first person that tells them to do anything is out. No second chances. Midas Adin. My friend was a counselor in the camp, and there was a kid that he didn't wear a yarmulke. Now, a lot of them didn't wear yarmulkes, but when they're in the base medrash davening and learning, they did. Except for one guy. My friend's Harusa. He davened. He showed up. Some people telling him didn't daven, but he did. He showed up for all the davening. He's davening without a yarmulke. He's learning a Harusa. He's learning without a yarmulke. And it was driving my friend crazy. And he said, I got to tell him. I said, you don't have to wear a yarmulke, but in the base medrash, in the shul, you're talking to God. How could you? He was so scared, they really scared him. That if he says anything, he's out. He was so scared. And he didn't tell him. At the end of the summer, the guy went to Israel. He told them, he said, the whole time I was convinced that this thing is a racket. And you brainwash people. And I was waiting the whole time for someone to say anything. And I knew, I said, I was davening without a yarmulke. And I knew that I was davening without a yarmulke. And I knew I was without a yarmulke. And the whole summer I was doing it, no one said anything to me. That proved to me you guys are legit, because I was trampling on you, and you didn't care. You were there for me, whatever I needed, and you weren't there to tell me what to do. I could take what I want from you. And he said, I saw you were legit, and it's Emes, and if it's Emes, I want this. And this is Hillel. Hillel. You'll get there. Derech Avoda. Shammai also agrees to this side. They also agree to this side. Shammai does not believe that you should do everything at once. You know what I'm saying? It's just that he holds the Bechanaka. You have to light the lights the way it really is, not the way we perceive it. He says, you have an Avoda. You have to do one little baby steps. But you can never lose sight that that's not enough. That your goal is to be perfect. And your goal is to get to a point where you have no choice. And your goal is to be that there's only one. And there are no other ways. There is no, on the one hand, on the other hand, there is no other hand. There's only one hand. There's no other hand. So when you're doing the Avoda, and you do it gradually, but the way you do it, there's like a part of the mitzvah, part of the essential mitzvah, is the goal to have all eight in one shot. You know, the process is gradual, but the goal is to have everything at once. We'll stop here. You still have to work on the difference between Hanukkah and Sukkot.
Cows and candles.
Jordan. Thank you.